Before we start the show today, given recent events, I need to make an important statement. It has not escaped my attention that I myself have become somewhat of a local political provocateur. I feel that. I feel it. In my defense, I've never even suggested violence against anyone who didn't deserve it. Even if I did, Carl has edited it out, so you can't prove anything. So, I got your ass there. But I do grasp the gravity of the moment. So, I need to make something very clear right now. If I am assassinated in the chaotic aftermath, make absolutely sure to tell everyone I never denounced the October 7th attacks. Thank you. Oh, baby, it's not possible. From the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast, I'm Rob. This is the Highlands Mucker Podcast. Hello. Comrades and friends, we have a great comrade and friend coming back into the studio for the first time since the remodel, Ray Krantz. Hello, Ray.
Hello.
Carl is here, as always, back from his tour. He did some, he was teaching some re-education camps in the Midwest, I think. He was teaching some kind of book. I don't know. I did want to ask you the first question, Ray. Are you familiar with the Delaware Call Fall Classic? Do you
yes.
know what that is? Well, let me tell you.
But you can tell me, yeah.
Saturday the 27th. So not tomorrow, but next Saturday. It's on. 19th century baseball, brass band, food, barbecue food truck. There'll be a hospitality tent with the bar. So, get your tickets now. The link will be underneath of this show. It will be at the Yorkland Center for Creative Arts, again, third annual. And the series is actually tied one apiece. So the established club, the Diamond State Baseball Club, who go around the region playing these 19th century games, they won the first matchup. Our working nine, the Challengers, they won last year. They held off a, I thought they were going to choke, actually, to be honest with you. It looked like they were going to choke. It made it very exciting. So this is the rubber match. So come out, click the link. It's $25 for a ticket. It's $60 for a ticket and hospitality tent. That's open bar to you and me. So
fancy.
Yeah, look, I mean, is it fancy or are we all a bunch of drunks? You say fancy. I'm sure Carl has a whole different take on that. So, I usually get mad when I find this out, when somebody gets in the local podcast game, and I'm just like,
you don't like the competition.
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Local podcast game? Get out of here! But you have splashed down into the local podcast game, and I like it.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain what you're doing and how you're doing it? Because it's actually pretty fun.
Sure, yeah. So my podcast is called This is the Delaware Way, and it is a play on the Delaware Way and also The Mandalorian, because if you are familiar with the Star Wars universe, The Mandalorian is about a group of people that hold tightly to the old ways of doing things and don't critically analyze why and if it's still serving a useful purpose. So there we go. It made sense. It worked well.
I like it because I would never do any kind of nerd Mandalorian shit. So that's fine. That's
now
a niche.
You know. Now you
but
know.
I also like there's a you come in with a prepared topic and then just sort of like go at it for a period of time. And it just seems so, I don't know. It just seems so natural. And I'm like, yeah, give them hell. Yeah, that's right. Oh, I didn't know that. Because you also do maybe more homework than I do. That seems like it's possible.
Yes.
That's why I always have Carl and Bill here to like, because I really just read like the real summaries.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fun.
Yeah. So one of my fatal flaws is doing too much research And that's why it also takes me a while to get out an episode, because I have to over research and then pull myself back and say, okay, calm down. No one cares about all those details. Like, let's get into the brass tacks. But let me actually give the origin story, because it took a while to get to that point. So origin story was, I saw a comment on an Instagram post for a bill that was in the legislature. And this was the bill about letting people who had been legally married to a first cousin in a different country where it was legal, like I think some European countries and stuff, are allowed to move to Delaware and still have their marriage recognized. And it confused a lot of people, because of course people got on board of, oh my gosh, we're legalizing first cousin marriage. No, it was about letting people move to Delaware. That's all it was about. Anyway, but there was a comment in the Instagram that said something like, we have more important things to do. Why are you wasting time on this? And that clicked something in my brain of, oh, people don't understand how our legislature works. They don't understand how much time gets wasted on regular
No, races. I mean, the legislature, as you follow it and you started doing it, and this is what's fun too, because, you know, you've been on before, you've written cool stuff for The Call, like the food series is like sticks in my mind, because mm-hmm. you pointed out something that I'm really into, but I didn't know all of that stuff existed. But you're sort of new-ish here, and you're getting the full picture, and mm-hmm. you're like, well, the whole thing's a waste of time. Mm. I mean, you know, however, you know, they can make sure some spreadsheets agree and have some meetings and make sure corporations can do everything they want, and that's about it.
Yeah. So when I first started, I was really focused on letting people know almost all the bills that were being discussed on any given week. And after it only took a couple episodes for me to realize that's exhausting, both for myself and people listening. And that's when I started doing more of the style that you commented on, which is going a little more in depth on things that are a little more interesting and giving people enough perspective to be able to talk to their legislators. And I even have, so most of my relatives are on the right, and but I had my mother-in-law, actually, who I was like, oh, hey, have you listened to my podcast yet? Because, you know, she follows me on social media. She said, no, you know, I haven't, because we have different perspectives. And I said, actually, my goal is to inform people of what's going on so that you know when things that are important to you are up, so you can give public comment. For example, I know that lead poisoning is a topic you're really passionate about. It would actually be very impactful for you to reach out to your house rep and tell them that you support this bill about lead remediation and rental properties. Yeah. So that's my goal with that.
Yeah, we talk to advocates about that in here. And I think that's, I mean, part of our shtick in here is to, I mean, we don't do it explicitly because we don't do anything explicitly, but like to break character for a minute is to kind of show that there is an there isn't an entree into this, like, oh, this person's MAGA or conservative, they don't like the Democrats, we don't like the Democrats either. And actually, if you start to talk about the things that they actually don't like, it's a lot of stuff we agree with.
Mm.
Now there's other stuff that we're like, yeah, you gotta get your shit together on that. Mm-hmm. Like, we're mm-hmm. not gonna deal with that nonsense. But there is actually a lot of stuff, and the problem is that it seems to me that people who are sort of moderately engaged on the right, or whether they're MAGA or whatever, conservative, mm-hmm. they just, the left is a lib, is a Democrat, is a progressive. It's all the same. And so the more we can do to sort of differentiate that part of it, I think mm-hmm. it's actually pretty helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I pointed out to people is I'm pretty sure the bill passed, but we recently passed a bill that like bans red food dyes in the state. And I kind of almost made fun of that a little bit, just saying that, you know, the legislator that introduced it was a Republican, but 3 years ago, the only people talking about food dyes were people on the left, because that research was driven by a left-leaning scientific research agency. And it wasn't until, you know, the whole MAHA movement jumped in and said, oh, we care about food dyes now, and now Republicans are pushing it. But that's actually a bipartisan thing. You know what, I get annoyed when people push bipartisan too much, because I think it's used
used
to allow like too much just evil and nonsense.
Well, it's also to shut the thing down. It's like,
right,
we're not going to be able to, we're going to have to lower our expectations because
right,
of that.
Right,
that's the context.
When it's used to stall progress, no thank you. But in this case, it's like, yeah, let's protect our bodies from, you know, being poisoned by like petroleum-based based food additives. Anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe don't tell Maha that it's a oil-based gas and oil industry. They might flip on it.
Here's the thing. And I've always shied away from sort of stuff like that too, like, cuz it comes up in police reform a lot. I shouldn't say a lot, but like, for example, civil asset forfeiture where the cops take your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's definitely a libertarian strain of conservative people that are going to be, like, sort of with you on that. Or that they were with, like, cannabis legalization or whatever. But, like, those are just the facts that, you know, like, coincidentally, lines are going to cross.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm talking about is significant, like, you know, your health care is too expensive and groceries are too expensive. And, you know, it seems like Democrats are fucking around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we agree on all of that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been funny having this project because I am a super nerd and I will watch legislative hearings for fun. So it's something that I do. One of my favorite legislative hearings.
It's funny because you look incredibly normal, but you're actually a very, very sick
person.
I wear
glasses when I drive at night. Yeah, but so my favorite hearing that I watched, I forget the bill, specific bill. I think it was one of Lynn's bills on immigration that didn't end up passing, and that's a whole nother topic. But there was a hearing, and it was in the House, and who's our majority leader, Evelyn Harris, gets up to soliloquize. Is that a word?
I'm sure it actually describes
on the nobility of immigration in general, writ large. And one of the Republican guys, I forget which one, stood up and, you know, point of order, can we talk about the bill? And the House Speaker shut him down and said, I think you need to hear this. And so he leaves the room, which I like fully support because, you know, dynamics. No, listen, let me finish that. Okay. So he leaves the room. Carrie Evelyn Harris finishes her grand speech about the nobility of immigration and then votes no on the bill about immigration protections. And I lost it.
Like, what's going on here?
I was so confused.
I just find it funny, too. Like, that's a total lib thing to do. And as people know, just to be clear, I think you know this. Carl definitely knows. We are actually very famous for being both ardently woke and adamantly anti-woke at the same time. That's what this show is. And so because of that, I noticed things like the Speaker of the House just being like, yeah, just let her cook. Yeah. And then vote the other way, and nobody's was it like a spell? Was it like you're trying to trick us?
Maybe,
like,
she made a mistake and went back and changed the vote later. And I don't know.
that's some funny stuff. But
yeah.
Anyway, are you still doing it at the same cadence? Or are you kind of doing it for the legislative session?
Actually, that's a great topic to go into. I've been trying to figure out what to focus on since the legislative session is over. I think I did an episode around this special session for the reassessment stuff that they did. I am planning another episode around the progression of reassessment conversations because they're starting up a special committee for that. That's going to meet September 30th for the first time.
I saw that special committee.
Yeah, so
it's
that'll
special.
That'll be interesting.
It's one of the most special committees I've ever seen.
Yeah, and then I want to talk more about the changes in the data center conversation because there's some stuff out of Newcastle County that's interesting around that. And then I had this big plan to look at, like, campaign finance reports and figure out who was doing what. Yo, listen, there are 41 there are 41 House people and, like, 21 Senate. It's too many. It's just me. I have a job.
Don't worry about that stuff. Like, I think the one thing that you could delve into now that the session's over is I feel like, and I don't know whether there is a good historical analogy to this, but Meyer is like vetoing stuff.
Yo,
based on him saying, like, and then his thing is like the statement they make goes, there could be unintended consequences. What kind of fucking dumb bullshit is this?
Well, listen, because I'm gonna have to look it up, but I saw a thing that one of the senators, I think, had said, I voted for something that Matt wanted me to vote for in exchange for him not vetoing this bill that I wanted to pass. And then so I voted for his thing, and now he vetoed my bill.
Here's what I'll say.
I'm like, that's just bad like relationships.
Here's what I will say about that. I do think that there is a lot of, I mean, it's a fucking cliche, but there's a lot of bad faith actors.
Uh-huh.
Like when somebody says, oh, Meyer promised this, Meyer promised that. He said this to me. He said that to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of people are just liars.
Okay.
However, putting that all aside about what he promised or didn't promise or whatever, it still looks ridiculous.
Mm.
Like I don't know. I guess because maybe the legislature writ large, especially like the Senate leadership for some reason, is like in their adversaries with Meyer, where it used to be they would be sort of allies with any of the governors because they were basically all the same.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand. I still think Meyer's the same, but there still seems to be that adversarial thing. I mean, do you have any take, Carl, on like, I mean, he's vetoed like two or three things. I feel like that's like almost unprecedented. I mean, Carney vetoed the pot one time.
And end of life? Or did that not make it through?
I don't think it made it through.
It didn't make it through.
Did he? I think he vetoed it, actually.
Yeah, I thought, yeah. Anyway.
But they came down to like moral, like he thought he was Mr. Moral.
Yeah.
So he was going to do moral stuff.
Yeah.
So at least that, like that I at least understand.
It was consistent. Like,
you're a conservative Catholic sort of moralist. Yeah. So while it seems ridiculous to me, there's a rational reason you did it that I can point to. With Meyer, I don't get that sense.
I mean, these are the types of conversations that I do not get included in, so I cannot speak to it.
You weren't in the room where it happened.
Listen, yeah. I sent Meyer my resume to be part of his transition team. Never heard anything back, so I don't know. I also applied. Newcastle County Council apparently has citizen boards that will help advise the subcommittees on stuff. So I applied to be on like the land use and stuff, like citizen board.
Your name's on the list, pal.
I have not gotten any.
Your name's on the list.
Contact.
You know how I give my recommendations to the boards like this. I'm doing it right now. That's it. Either listen, you understand or you don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nothing else I can do for you. But you did mention a topic that I wanted to bring up. It's a great segue.
All right.
Because you mentioned following up on the reassessment, the property reassessment and tax stuff. And I just want to mention that while it hasn't been filed yet officially, so I don't think the parties who are going to be sued are officially know, but they unofficially know. Mm-hmm. And Delaware Business Times has already written about it. What I thought was a single landlord actually is a, like, I forget what word the Delaware Business Times used, but it's like a coalition of landlords are filing suit, I think, against the state, Newcastle County and Christina School District about the basically general reassessment stuff. I think originally I heard it was the way that they're now allowed, the school district's now allowed, or the county's now allowed to split the corporate versus residential.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to complain about that, or they're going to file suit about that. But yeah, so the first suit has been filed. The whole issue, as I said, I think is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to talk to you about leading this into diversifying our revenue streams. But I'll give you your soapbox on the reassessment, because I've talked about it in here, but I haven't really talked about it with anybody or posted anything about it because I think it's stupid.
Yeah.
But what's your take on it?
Yeah, I have two minds that could be kind of opposing, but they do go together. One is that I agree, I think, with a lot of council people that, you know, this reassessment is so painful in part because it hasn't been done for 40 years. So, you know, the Jack Carneys and the Jack Markells, Jack Carney, John Carney, Jack Markells of the world.
Jack,
you know,
me off, Carney.
They just let it roll, let it ride. And so here we are, and it's been 40 years. So, yes, that's going to be painful. So maybe we could have done a more graduated rollout process over multiple years instead of all at once. I don't know, but here we are. And so we got to deal with that. But the other thing is, I do not like Tyler Technologies. I think they're shady as fuck. We're allowed to cut, yeah, right?
I think I think we've been, that's another thing we've been very clear about. We encourage all manner
so
of.
So
I'm deviant
actually,
language.
I'm very angry because I sat in, there was a call for an ordinance with Newcastle County Council, and all the ordinance would be to say, hey, we recommend that our county auditor look at Tyler Technologies' process and make sure like it was cool. And the county voted, it was like 76-8-7. No.
Yeah,
Why would you not look at them?
I talked to Brandon Toole right the week before that about all of the stuff. And again, I agree. My whole thing is I agree with this idea of all the stuff being in a black box.
Yeah.
Like they can't and you still but people still do have an appeals process, which I guess mm-hmm. everybody's going to go through. And that's on a one-to-one thing. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do that, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you shouldn't appeal if something's wrong. Even our we got legal counsel Bill said, you know, he appealed because something was wrong.
Yeah. And
the
idea
that the whole thing is wrong, the reason people think that is because it's in a black box and it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look good.
Yeah, we just want more transparency, man. Like this is basic.
Yeah,
basic
one of the reasons they can't actually do this in banking, just so you know, is because we still do have banking laws in this country where as loose as they might be, if you get, for example, denied for a loan or you get less than you applied for, even like apartments, like if they check your credit, they have to tell you why you didn't meet the standard. They have to say you had too much medical debt or you had public records or you don't have enough credit. Or they have to tell you. They have to be able to demonstrate to you, a regular person, something that's on your credit report that you can look at. Because the big push has been to do the same thing Tyler Technologies is doing with, like, banking. And just be like, we put the information in, it comes out. That's the because the biggest thing is the price you pay.
Yep.
So they figure out, oh, for your loan, it's going to be this. For that loan, it's going to be that. Well, why? Because the machine said. Yeah.
Can I put a plug in here for the book Weapons of Math Destruction, M-A-T-H, Math Destruction?
More geek shit. This is more nerd shit, everybody.
Listen, I think it's like a decade old at this point, but it's honestly more relevant now because back then it was just algorithms and how they're impacting every facet, banking, criminal justice, etc. But now with AI in the mix, it's going to be exponentially worse. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I understand the broader problems with, you know, doing these values in a black box and then telling you your public taxes based on it. It's weird. I get that part of it. But what I thought was it just proved that people didn't get it when they're like, oh, here's a Google Street View picture of one place and another Google Street View picture. Here's the Zillow average.
Mm-hmm.
And then this, like, yeah, that's not how it works, though. They're not doing that.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to, like, sort of figure out a better way to approach doing this in this age, and it just made us look very stupid,
very immature.
Yeah, it made us look like it made us look a little low rent because you're just like, you don't know. Just it's like you're doing all of this work and you're demanding that like these things happen, which they don't happen. They're not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then what you're demanding it with is like it's like kids stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, but nobody wants to hear it. So
yeah. And there are some council members that I really like and I'm growing to get to know more and appreciate. But
in the county.
In the county.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Are you going to do some Kevin Kaneko love right now? Is that what you're going to do? I feel it. I feel a lot in here.
Listen,
and I feel like you're going to
like
do Kevin
unhinged,
Kaneko.
But in a good way, I guess.
Because he's doing the same shit with the data center too, right?
Yeah. Listen, I don't know how he came across my Instagram feed, but he did. And I started following him and I'm like, this guy is weird, man.
He was in here,
but
man. He had a couple glasses of wine in here. It was fucking great.
No, it's fine. No, but there's a few that are trying to really do the work and get some good stuff done. And I guess there's still a lot of old Delaware Way energy that we still got to figure out. So, you know.
Yeah, at least the way I look at it is he stands up, you know, for something. You know, is it clumsy sometimes? Is it, like, perfectly thought out? Not really.
Yeah, I wish
but
I had
his bravery. But he stands for something.
Yet.
But yeah. he obviously stands for something, and you got to give somebody credit for that. It's like Bernie. A lot of his politics now are kind of garbage.
Mm.
But he had a program. He did the program, and he got us to this point. So you got to give him credit. So you got to stand up. You know, you got to be brave.
Yes.
So I'll give him that.
That's the word of the moment. Absolutely. We have too many scared people in state government and we need people who have some fight in them. That's what I would like to see more of.
You just hit on the biggest topic of the night.
I'm good at segues.
You did it. You're a pro. You're a total pro. Because there's somebody in our neck of the woods here. I mean, I think it's fair to say in the shadow of Rockford Tower. I think that's fair to say. Who is stepping up in a huge way. Dr. Bohm has been on this program. She's a friend of the show. I run into her at all great events around the state, whether it be a labor rally, like when she came out for the Kentmere caregivers and her thing, whether it be a barbecue for the Working Families Party. She's there. And I'm very excited to make sure everybody has her fill the state Senate seat from our Senate district. Because what had happened was, the little small town tyrants in this neighborhood were able to use the levers of power. That's how they did it. I make a sound when they do it like that. and really stick it to us. Which again, I told Bud Friel the day of the special election. I said, look, you got our ass this time. Mm-hmm. I got to recognize what happened. I said, but I think we're going to get your ass the next time. Mm. And guess what, folks? This is the next time. So the show, the Highlands Bunker podcast, and all its affiliates, we don't have any affiliates, are endorsing today for Senate District 1, Dr. Adriana Bohm. Thank mm-hmm. you. Do you have would you like to speak in support of this?
Absolutely. Dr. Bohm, Adriana, I just love her. She's a beautiful soul of a person, and she puts in the work. She puts in the work. And that's what I want to see more of. I feel like there are a lot of legislators that honestly, half our legislators, I feel like, are retired. This is their, I need somewhere to hang out, like, option. But a lot of our legislators are in a habit. They go down. They hang out. They say the pretty words. They sign the easy bills. They don't put in the work. And I know Adriana is going to definitely do that.
We'll do a little bit now and then a little bit for patrons. Let's see how it goes. Because the thing that made me probably the most upset is, I'm politically engaged in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I know what's happening. I can make fun of Bud Friel or, I know where the John Paul Mac Isaac, the Biden laptop guy, I know where he lives. I know all this stuff. I know the neighborhood. I mean, we're here. We're entrenched here, So what I had never heard of was Ted Cruz, this guy, Dan Crucius.
Give me everything.
The Crucius. And so I didn't know who the fuck that guy was. And then you see and you're like, oh, no, he's a United Way executive who's been involved with the party who lives part-time at the beach. I'm like, God, they're fucking dabbing on our ass right now.
He didn't have time to meet with me in August because he was going to be in Rehoboth. So that happened.
I have to tell you, I'll tell you my funny story, and maybe you can tell one of your funny interactions.
Sure.
Because I'm not going to, a friend of the show, very good friend of the project, actually, sent in some FOIA requests to the Board of Elections about his residency. And would you believe that, of course, the chair of the Board of Elections, whose name I forget, that guy actually, when he denied when he showed the proof of his address, whatever, copied Ted Cruz. So now Ted sees who requested the information and sent a sent a long email to said person, like, I don't know why you're doing this to me. Like, this is, I want to, can we speak at some point? Because it was like, he was pulling a full Ray Siegfried. He was like, why are you doing this to me? I don't deserve, I'm the senator now. They picked me.
Wait, he said those words?
Well, I'm paraphrasing.
You're paraphrasing. Okay,
paraphrasing. Yeah. But I'm paraphrasing pretty, I'm actually not exaggerating that much. It was basically a, can we meet? Why are you doing this? And I was like, we got his ass. Because he's admitting to us that we accomplished the thing we wanted to accomplish. But yeah, I think he's been exactly what we expected. We could have rolled fucking Bud Friel down there for 28 days or whatever they have to do, and he'd have done the same shit that fucking Ted Cruz did. So
yeah, I have a few examples because I'm a very involved person, so I'm always emailing my legislators. Honestly, Mr. Cruz should take a page from Deb Heffernan's book and just not reply to me. It'd probably be, but it'd be less funny. So actually, don't do that.
No. Here's the thing. Here's what I've learned too, though. It's funny that you say that, because one of the things I've learned from doing this kind of deal is that it doesn't matter. Like, the people who can't help themselves can never help themselves. Like, they can't, like, not listen when they know they don't want to, because he's going to say something mean. Oh, no. But they can't help it. And I feel like he's sort of the same thing. Like, he can't help being what he is. He's a goofball.
Listen, I will give him a compliment. He is exceptionally skilled at saying a lot of words, but not saying anything. It's amazing. It's really amazing.
That's the greatest skill.
But okay, this email that I'm going to read is actually his newsletter. So this went to everyone who signed up for his newsletter. So he sent an email talking about the work that he did on Senate Bill 132. And he said a lot of things, a lot of words. We won full bipartisan support on this. Again, this is where bipartisan is a warning, folks.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is where it's a warning.
Red flag. We're going,
full bipartisan support. That's coalition building at work. That's why one of the first bills I introduced codifies and extends a renter's right to representation. SB 132 is another win in our ongoing effort to address Delaware's housing crisis, yada, yada. Listen, so I talked about this on my podcast, so we're coming full circle here.
I love this. I think this was the issue that was like, I got to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Because it was on the Slack. I saw it on the Slack.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, he did what now? Because so I don't get, here's a big surprise. While I live and am a voting constituent in SD1, I am not on the list to get Dan Cruz's.
Yeah. And you probably don't read bills that much. Like, that's.
I try not to.
Yeah. It's a lot. But so I read this bill. I was like, okay, what did he do? I think what he codified was, like, the bill says, instead of the state will work with agencies to supply renters' right to representation, they specify, we'll work with agencies such as CLASI. So there, we're codifying CLASI. Cool, that's what everyone's using anyway. And then at the end of the bill, he extended the implementation date from 2026 to 2028, and then had the audacity to email his email list and say, I'm helping to combat homelessness. Look at what I did.
That is all. When you were like, he said he extended the rights, but he extended the time until, I mean, you got
to
look,
get the
you know
rights.
What you got to do here, bro. That is a classic.
I just can't
to take credit for basically making sure we don't have to pay for this for another 2 years.
Yeah.
Is, and then, like, it was absolutely incredible.
It's amazing.
Come on.
I'm telling
Ted.
You, if you pay attention to what people are doing in Dover, you learn things. Because most people don't pay attention, and so that is why. That's why I started my podcast. We're full circle. We can go back to our endorsement talk, though. That was also a good topic.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, I'd say that the funny thing that happened with me and Adriana, like, a couple of months ago, I was grilling at an organizer's picnic, I think a working families party picnic, and I'm grilling over charcoal. It's hot as hell. Mm-hmm. Hat, got my towel. I got two towels. One I'm using for food, one I'm using for myself. I got a towel over each shoulder. Now, and it got really busy. So I'm making, like, burgers on this little tiny grill. with hot dogs and the little thing. I'm just throwing them around. All of a sudden, this person just sort of sidles up. I look, and it's Adriana. She's got like a dress and a hat, but she's carrying a towel. She's like, this is some city shit. You got to dab yourself all day. She just stood by when we were both standing here talking, dabbing ourselves with towels. I don't know, man. All I can tell you is that this is the program. People who want to represent all people for the benefit of all people. Mm. Not to put people in their little cohorts, stick them against each other, or make sure that the old guard can do what they want to do. This is what we've been talking about for fucking almost 7 years. And the other thing is, this is going to be the first of many of these. See, I'm doing that with my... You can't see this now, but I'm I'm doing my finger down a number line, like 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. So that's what I'm excited about, too, because what you mentioned in your... maybe we didn't record it, but I was listening to what you wrote that you were thinking about saying to the call. And you recount this situation at a legislative hearing, and, mm-hmm. and what happened and what the vote was. Mm-hmm. But you were like, the good thing about it is the five people that we have a problem with in that legislative hearing, three of them are gone. So these things are happening. I know people don't want to they want to pretend like they're not happening. Mm-hmm. They're definitely happening.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not a secret. We are in a time of intense change that everyone, I'm sure, is very well aware of. And the same old status quo, go along, get along, that's not going to work. We can't have that anymore because we have to respond way quicker than we are used to responding at a legislative level with everything that's coming down. And we all know that. And so if you can't do that, just step aside.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think about it in those terms, but I never put it just in those terms. They're like way behind the time. Mm-hmm. They're still operating, and I'm just having like this sort of like, it's not a flashback, but thinking about all of the research that Carl's doing,
mm-hmm.
and talking about sort of the, you know, where the Delaware Way came from, the history, and then where it was born and how it works. And this batch of legislators, for the most part, is operating as they operated years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's like going in a fucking time machine.
Oh, I have an anecdote actually from 2 hours ago. So on my way here, or before I headed here, I was on it's Green Drinks. I think it's from through Plastic Free Delaware. It's like a once a month social hangout. And tonight,
I thought you were going to say it was another podcast. I was like, Jesus Christ, it's enough. Enough is enough. Folks, enough is enough.
Anyway, so they tonight they hosted the DenRec secretary, and after his presentation, he took questions, and one of the questioners said, hey, I moved here a couple years ago from Texas because I thought, oh, if I go to Joe Biden's Delaware, it will be the epicenter of environmental progression. And then he said, and then I got here, and like, what are y'all doing? What's going on?
Well, it's a land of the DuPonts, but also a land of Russ Peterson. It's contrasts. But yeah, I think there is definitely an idea like, oh, Delaware is much better. We're actually worse. Like, you know, it's actually in a lot of ways much worse. The taxes are a big way because people, you know, they've never paid enough taxes here.
Right. We have a very low property tax rates in general. Still, even,
no
right?
Sales
after
tax.
The reassessment.
Yeah, still after the reassessment. Yeah. No sales tax and no progressive tax brackets within the income tax. Mm-hmm. So it's just like people are like, well, the income tax is relatively high. Well, yeah, it's relatively high because we tax every dollar after $120K to $50 million at the same fucking rate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's just like the whole state is a scam. And then the people who get the most out of it, what do? Mm-hmm. They send their kids to Tower Hill, Tattnall, and then they bitch about the schools. And then they fund like, oh, well, we can do a promise. We can do a charter school on the side. You know, we'll hire fucking lackeys to do that. And we'll run it through the state system. And we'll crack down on them just like we crack down on any fucking public school, too.
Yeah. One of the points about the proposed tax bracket changes that I liked, and I don't remember the senator's name, I apologize, but he said, you know, after the limit changes every year, but it's something around like 160 or something. After 160, you stop paying into Social Security. So if you make more than $160,000, your realized tax rate is actually way less than anyone who makes less than $160,000, and you're making more money for the money you're making or whatever, right? And so it's like, okay, if we want to look at this equitably, what can we do with that information and looking at our own tax bracket?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that's the thing. It's people complain about, I mean, it shouldn't come as a surprise to everyone that the first suit in this whole long 40-year long drawn out mess is from a consortium of fucking landlords.
Mm.
You know, it's just like, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can just remember Jessica Rain was right from the beginning. This makes people very angry. And yeah, she from day one, she dabbed. Week one, she dabbed. Month out, dabbing. So it's like, maybe somebody knows what they're talking about. Anyway, do you want to do another? No, you know what? I don't want to do another cruise. I'll just get in trouble.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we can lay off.
I mean, that's the other thing. Chew. Why do people listen to this that don't like it?
I don't know.
They do though.
I removed someone from my Instagram followers and I took my personal account private.
Did you?
Yeah.
It was just getting creepy?
Well,
or
no,
like
no,
a
no,
local
no. It was a legislator.
Or?
It was a legislator.
Oh.
And they
well,
followed
it still can
me
get very creepy.
After I attended the, I don't know if it's related, but what I don't want to be paranoid and be like, oh, you know, people know who I am. But they followed me after I made a big stink about the data center town hall.
Right.
And they followed me right after that. I was like, okay, well, the timing is interesting. And I was like, you know what? You don't need to follow me. Like, I don't know why you're just like, why? I don't know. It was just, I don't know. Anyway.
Does her name rhyme with Nicole?
No.
Sore.
You know what is funny? Actually, look, I will give credit where credit is due. I emailed Nicole Poor, and she replied, and she was very kind and informative.
Fair.
So, you
hey,
know
shout
what?
Out. Shout
hey.
Out Nicole Poor.
Yeah. So fair, I appreciated fair that. I appreciated that a lot because I was trying to I'm holding myself back now. I was trying to talk to people. Anyway, share ideas. That's all I want. I just want people to be thinking of ideas, and that seems to be really hard for all of my elected officials.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say it's like glee or like Schadenfreude or anything, but like seeing people come, like you were mentioning the person that came from Texas about the environmental laws,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, you coming from Ohio and like just seeing how things work, mm-hmm. like at a state level. It's just funny to me because I'm like, see, I've been saying how bad it is. You guys see. It's almost like you feel like there's a V word. I'm not going to use it because I'm not allowed to use it anymore. But some people are saying, I'm not saying it. Some people are saying I've been totally vindicated.
Mm.
I would never say it because it's a cliche now. It's a cliche.
Yeah. Well, if you do an episode on the data center again, did you do one already?
It's funny because the episode that Jess and I gave our first sort of reaction to.
Oh, that's
the
right. That
thing
was the one.
It was the data center and then the thing. And we were right,
right
about both things. But actually, yep. We were right about both things.
Yeah.
So we were saying how we were right. And the other thing we talked about, also correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, are we, I mean, that's still going to be.
So
is there an update on that since we
there's
talked?
There's a couple updates. Sorry, I'll try to go fast. So the one
update. We still have I've been watching the clock. So that's 15 minutes.
The one update is that Newcastle County Council has introduced a very thorough, actually, ordinance that would add regulations around data centers of this size. And it has a lot of very helpful stipulations. And then in the hearing where they discussed it, DENREC's representative also contributed even more additional things that should be taken into account and added to the ordinance. So, like, I'm very happy with how that ordinance section is going in terms of protecting us from the future. Now, I don't think it can protect us from this one because the permit was applied for before the ordinance was introduced and blah, blah, blah. And that's the kind of red tape that just frustrates the fire out of me because, like, what do you mean we can't protect ourselves when something that has literally never been built before in this state gets thrown in our faces and then we say, hey, pause, let's think this through. And then we also say, wait, but we can't think it through because the rules say. And that's the bit that I'm frustrated about. But that's happening at the county level. And then at the state level, Senator Hansen and Representative Burns are working on a piece of legislation. And again, small, tiny cookie to Mr. Cruz, who I've been emailing about this. And so he offered to loop me in on some email list for some group that's
I think maybe after this you're gonna be looped out. You might be out of the might be a loop and you might be out of it.
I just finally got accepted to something I applied for in this state.
He's not gonna do that. He's not gonna
do that. But yeah, so things are moving. So I actually have been very heartened and I've been doing a lot of canvassing as well with the Sierra Club down in Delaware City. And it is so surprising. Most people in the neighborhood that will be within 1,000 feet of that proposed data center, most people don't know it's happening. They still don't know it's happening. And so it's been some of the most fun canvassing that I've ever done because people are very receptive and they want to talk to you and they want to learn and they want to understand. So it's been that's been great. And so shout out to Sierra Club for organizing those.
Yeah, that's actually awesome. I knew that there was some information campaign going out. I didn't know you canvassed. And that's some cool information because, again, we were talking earlier. I don't know whether we recorded it, but the idea of like, yeah, you can talk to people pretty much of any or no political persuasion and be like, shouldn't we be regulating the shit they put over here? They're like, yeah, because your electricity is going to go up. It's going to be weird to hold all that shit over there with your water and all that.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, yeah, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's like there's ways to have perfectly reasonable political conversations with people, and mostly they agree.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're knocking everyone's doors. It's a bipartisan canvas.
Yeah.
And the reception is overall very just grateful for the information, honestly, and people wanting to speak up more on it. So hopefully,
very cool.
They're getting energized. Yeah.
That's very, very cool. Well, given recent events, I think it's only appropriate that I mention at the Emmys last night, there was an outburst of solidarity and bravery from an actor who she won some award. I don't watch TV anymore, so I don't know these people. But I think it's only appropriate to sort of show solidarity with her to say, of course, the trifecta of good takes. This is definitely the hat trick of good takes. Go Birds. Fuck ICE. Free Palestine. Left is best.